Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND, and here's your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks again for joining us. We're doing something special today. Never done this before. We're going to have a panel discussion today rather than a single guest. I'm going to be talking about the issue of pastors' involvement in helping to redeem the culture, something that I'm sure is near and dear to all of you. So we're going to begin as normal. I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then I'm going to open up the discussion and give these pastors an opportunity. I'll introduce them and then give them an opportunity to weigh in on these issues. And what we're going to do, too, is we'll open the lines now. Press star 6 to get in queue to answer any questions that you might have, and we'll give you an opportunity to join in the discussion with them. Rather than our spending a full 20, 25, even 30 minutes talking and then opening up. If you have questions, we'll take those questions as they come in as part of the discussion. You all know to press star 6 to do that. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all the good that you have done for us, because you've been so very good. And, Lord, that goodness includes, first and foremost, saving us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. It also includes giving us the freedom to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in the United States of America, the most prolific nation for proclaiming and projecting the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world that of any nation has ever been. And we get to be a part of that legacy. And just like this call we're having, Lord, in many countries, you couldn't do this. You'd be arrested for it. Some of the things that we will say would be outlawed. You couldn't say them. There are those in our country right now who are trying to change that. They're trying to muzzle us. They're trying to censor us. They're trying to stop Christians from speaking up. There's a great deal of anti-Christian bigotry that's on the rise, but we are standing against it. Just reading, Lord, I think yesterday in your word in the Gospel of John, where you said, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. If you were of the world would love you because the world loves its own, but you are not of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. So we know that we are countercultural. We are against the world. But, Lord, we also live in a country that was rooted and grounded and founded, really, in Christian culture. And we want our country to return to that, because we know therein lies the best hope for its future. It's not in the intellect of Harvard and Yale and Princeton and these other schools. It's certainly not in the size of our military or in the trillion-dollar big tech companies that have now arisen in America. It really is in the truth of your word. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. America's been blessed because America's God is the Lord, and we founded our country on the principle that rights and liberties don't come from other human beings. They come from Almighty God. And so, Lord, we want to preserve that. Help us to do that. Thank you for these pastors who are joining me, Lord God, as dear friends, as really sons in the ministry and officers in STAND. And Father God, we just pray that you'll continue to use them in a mighty way to lift up their voices and cry aloud and spare not. We pray, Father God, that you would increase their influence and their impact on the world around them, because, Lord, we don't have enough of them. And we pray that you'll add to our numbers, not only for STAND, but in every quarter, that you'll add to the numbers of outspoken proclaimers of God's word, Lord, because we know that that's what the world needs more than anything else right now. Certainly we need leaders who are righteous rather than wicked. No question about that. We need a vibrant economy where people can live without having to struggle needlessly because they can't afford things based upon the inflation that they're experiencing. And those are certainly important things. But we know that the most important thing is you, because if we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, everything else we need will be added to us. Lord, we pray for the STAND Awards dinner coming up a week from today, that you will just bless it, Lord, to be spiritually impactful, to be numerically full, and to be financially successful. And we just give the work of this ministry, this organization, over to you as always, Lord God, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, because we know that if we follow you, we will succeed in the only way that matters, which is that you are pleased. And so, Lord, help us. You said, in all our ways acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. Well, Lord, we acknowledge you. Please direct our paths. We don't want to go any other way but the way in which you want us to go. We thank you. We praise you for these men of God who are joining this discussion today and for all the people who are on the line to listen and to participate in the discussion. And, Lord, we just surrender ourselves, our families, our lives, and our nation into your loving care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, we are joined today by three officers, maybe four by now, but by at least three officers of STAN. We've got a national vice president and president of Arkansas STAN, retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Pastor Iverson Jackson. We've got a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, hoorah, Semper Fi, and a former police officer of Charlotte, North Carolina, Dr. Leon Threet. He's the pastor of Christian Faith Center. And I mentioned, I don't know whether I mentioned, but Pastor Iverson Jackson, the pastor of Zoe Bible Church. We've got Pastor Cecil Bly. I don't know whether he's with us yet, but he's a practicing attorney.
I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Yes, all right. Practicing attorney and pastor of More Grace Ministries in Louisville, Kentucky. Serves as headmaster of More Grace Christian Academy, and he's also a national vice president and president of STAN Kentucky, and I think I mentioned Pastor Leon Threet, president of STAN North Carolina, and a national vice president as well. And I believe we've got Dr. Melvin Johnson on with us as well. He is president of STAN Texas. Pastor Johnson, the name of your church again, I know it's in Brazoria, Texas. What's the name of it again?
It's Heart of Christ Community Church.
Heart of Christ Community Church. All right. Heart of Christ Community Church. Forgive me. I didn't have that in front of me in my notes. But look, thank you all for joining us for a roundtable discussion. And I do want this to be a discussion. And folks, press star six. Pastor Marlon and Vanity, let me know if we have calls and we'll take them. Well, I mean, maybe I can get there myself. If we have callers who want to join in the discussion, we'll take them as we go. But look, this idea came to me because, first of all, we got the dinner coming up and all of you will be at the dinner. And I thought it'd be a good way to sort of highlight your involvement and leadership in STAN and the importance of the dinner, which we'll come to in a second. But I wanted to begin and was really moved to talk about this because I talked to so many Christians who are frustrated that pastors will not speak up on the issues of the day, that they simply avoid it like it's the plague. And it's not like the Bible doesn't talk about these things. But, I mean, the Bible talks about the lives of unborn children. God specifically mentions it. The Bible talks about gender. The Bible talks about marriage. The Bible talks about morality and corruption and all these things that are perfectly appropriate because they're biblically addressed, but yet you have pastors who simply avoid them. They will not touch them with a 10-foot pole. So let's begin the discussion this way. Why is that, number one? And I mean, given how much more alarming things are than they've been, you would think that would be changing pretty dramatically, but some pastors are jumping in. I acknowledge that, but we're not seeing any kind of tsunami of a movement for pastors to jump in and get involved and begin to take the word of God and apply it. So why is that? And I'll open this up with whoever wants to jump in. But why do you think that is? And what do you think is the answer? What's the solution, if any, to that issue? I'll tell you what.
Well,
go ahead.
Bishop, I'll jump right in. I think this, again, this is Pastor Threet, North Carolina. I think one of the first things that we're faced with is that to speak out, stand boldly, and to proclaim truth in this generation, it's going to cost you tremendously. And I think somewhere along the way, though, many pastors and leaders have looked in the horizon of time and certainly have witnessed that it has cost many greatly when they stand up. I thought about it as you mentioned that in St. Mark 6 and 18, John the Baptist spoke out against Herod, who had taken his brother Philip's wife. He told him, "It is not lawful for you to take your brother's wife." Well, we know that it cost John the Baptist his head for standing. And so it's going to cost us, but we've got to be willing to pay the price of a call of speaking truth in a wayward culture. And counting the cost is part of it. And I'm concerned that many are challenged about the price it may cost them. It may cost them congregants and followers and finances and all of the things that we deem success in ministry. But, you know, I think what we've got to remind ourselves is that really what we've been called to is obedience. And whatever the cost, to be found faithful to our calling, our assignment, and to the Word of God, we must be willing to pay that. But it's costly, and I yield at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody else want to weigh in on that?
Yes, I think that one of the problems is that I believe that ministers, Christians, people of faith, many of them think that your belief system, your religion, your faith is a private matter, and that we are a melting pot. And so since we're a melting pot, there should be no national religion, national morality that you can't legislate morality, or, you know, you should not put your beliefs on somebody else. But that's a very, very erroneous and skewed way of thinking, and goes totally against Scripture. Actually, the Bible shows and very clear that God deals with nations just like He deals with individuals, man. When he deals with nations, He says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The Bible says in Job that God will hide His face from a nation exactly the way He'll hide His face from an individual. It says in Job 34, verse 29, when He giveth quietness, who can then make trouble? And when He hides His face, who then can behold Him, whether it be done against a nation or against a man only? So I think, you know, we need to have a clarion call, and people need to understand that God deals with nations like He deals with individuals, that there needs that there is such a thing as a national morality. There is such a thing as a public morality. There is such a thing as community standards, where we say, okay, this is right, okay, and this is wrong. And then where do we get that? Well, we need to get it from the Bible, because the Bible is the book of truth. And the thing is, if people who are believers in Christ would say, okay, this is what the Bible says, and this is should be our community standard, God's going to bless that. Yes, you know, it can be scary to go out there and say that kind of thing. And Bishop Jackson is somebody who's doing that on a regular basis. He's taken the arrows, that have been shot at him. He's experienced that. But God will honor that, and we need to understand that there has to be a community morality, and so it has to be based on something. Somebody said, you know, you can't legislate morality, but every piece of legislation is legislating morality. Every piece of legislation is somebody's idea of what's moral. And so we need to understand that it's no such thing as a vacuum where you just, you know, you just say, well, we're not going to say what's right, what's wrong, which is going to be, you know, neutral. That's impossible. If you're neutral, you're making a statement on what's right, what's wrong. And so we need to stand up as Christians and cry loud and spare not, and trust the anointing to begin to change people's hearts.
Amen. That was Pastor Cecil Bly speaking, by the way, folks. He's also a practicing attorney. But we've got callers coming in. So for those of you who haven't said anything yet, let's respond to what these callers have to say, because I want to get them involved in the discussion. So let's go ahead and take the first one. Go right ahead.
had more of a comment, really. I am appreciative of hearing from godly men who are standing up and not backing down, who are willing to concede that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, head of the church, Jesus, he's the right one, and we should always stand up for what he desires. And he desires the church to be equipped with his understanding. And that understanding, I know, comes from a lot of the pastors and the ministers, and when they can get together and agree, we can be a force for righteousness, and maybe we can make a change in this nation and its downward trend. And so I'm thankful for you men coming online and just standing up for Christ. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Sister Janet. What are you all experiencing? Before we go to the next caller, Pastor Melvin, Pastor Jackson, Pastor Iverson Jackson, what are you all experiencing in terms of the ministers in your areas and around your, in your neighborhood? What the sister just said about being encouraged by your forthright stands, are others following suit? Are they encouraged when they see other ministers around them standing up?
Well, Bishop, this is Pastor Jackson. I'm Pastor Johnson from Texas. God bless. Yes, and in alignment with Pastor Bly and Pastor Threet and the lady who had just spoken, I would see it and say it like this. Many pastors, they lead in the direction that they know that the people are going, what is right or wrong. And so in essence, they're following their congregations for some of the reasons. I think that Pastors Bly and Pastor Three had already mentioned, you know, whether it's financial, whether it's popularity. And so they just stay within, let's say, the context of where the church or whether even the culture or even where the political winds are blowing, because let's just say it like this, it's safe to do such a thing, and you stay along with the people. But I'm motivated, I'm inspired by Alexis de Tocqueville when he said that I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and not that it was not there. Fertile fields and boundless forests, not there. Her rich mines, her vast world commerce, it was not there. In a Democratic Congress and a matchless Constitution, not there. He said, not until I went into the churches of America and heard the pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And so the issue is, we should not have politicians leading the culture for change. It should be the pulpits. And we got the cart before the horse.
Amen. Leadership. So, Pastor Jackson, do you want to comment?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I just want to follow up on what Pastor Johnson, or is that Pastor Jackson? Pastor Johnson said is absolutely correct, and what I see the same thing here with Lot is that, you know, we have this thing we call in America now compartmentalizing things, and rather than seeing things, just say, hey, whatever the scripture says, that's what I'm going with. And I see pastors in church communities compartmentalizing politics away from church. You know, you believe what you believe no matter where you are, and you are either going to follow that belief, if that's what you say, or you're not. You can't compartmentalize and say, well, because that issue is a R issue or a D issue, you know, I agree, I disagree. It's what does the word say about it? And then that has to be where we stand, and doesn't make any difference. And we have to come to a place where we're resolved that it doesn't make any difference, as Pastor Threet said, what it costs me. Or, you know, what someone thinks about me. If the scripture says thou should not shed innocent blood. Well, I think all of us on this call can agree that your blood doesn't get much more innocent than a baby still in the womb. And when he says that, and man should not lie with man as with woman, I don't, that's pretty clear. So I don't know how you compartmentalize that and are afraid to speak of that and still say that you are a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I told, you know, group Sunday evening that the politicians are waiting on the pastors to weigh in on issues. And I've seen on the floor of the House, the state House, where votes were changed because people were calling their representatives as they sat there getting ready to push the button. And I've seen bills fall and bills passed that would otherwise have gone the other direction because people got involved. And the pastors can make one phone call and say, hey, this is what the scriptures say. We need to go with that. And regardless of what is the D or an R, we need to go with the word of God. And if we do that and stand up instead of looking at this as, well, you know, we don't get involved in that. Well, you are involved. I think Pastor Bly was talking about that. You are involved whether you want to be or not. And so when we lead the way, people get motivated and they get encouraged when they see their pastors standing up for righteousness and leading the way. And that's what we got to have. And then whatever the results are, that's just what they are.
Amen. Amen. Let's take another call. Go right ahead.
Yes, I want to say amen to the stand on the Word of God. And, of course, you know, stand, that's what you're all about, and that's what we're all about. And so I'm with the Christian Action Network, Martin Fisher. I am flabbergasted at some of the ministers who are betraying the Word of God. I want to know, what do we do about, you got names like Andy Stanley, the son of Charles Stanley. That's my denomination, Southern Baptist. What in the world is going on? How can a church that says it's, you know, rooted in the Word of God perform homosexual marriages? That's Andy Stanley's church. He doesn't do them himself. He has ministers, though, in his large church doing these things, and it's an abomination before God. That's a fake, false fraud of a marriage. How can this be happening? What do we do?
All right. Thank you for the question. I'll let you all go ahead, and whoever wants to tackle that one.
I'll respond to that one. Here's the number one thing you can do. Get out of those churches. Don't participate and put your resources in something that you know is going directly against the Word of God. Because that's what these people understand is when you, as we say, vote with your feet, then that's real easy to understand. And don't forget what the scripture says: in the last days, people would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and you know they're saying whatever the people want to hear, and agreeing with the culture, as one of our brothers just said, agreeing with the culture rather than leading the culture. So the best thing to do, Jesus himself said that you have that tradition has made the Word of God of none effect.
Uh-huh.
And so I know we may have grown up in different churches and so forth, but if they're not preaching the Word, it's time to get out of there.
Anybody else on that? Because John Maxwell, by the way, I'm sure most of us are familiar with John Maxwell. John Maxwell, I didn't hear him say it, but it's been reported to me by several people that he said churches should stop speaking out on the issues, that they should not get involved. And so apparently there are a number of these very prominent ministers who are saying, and I think Andy Stanley famously said, the church shouldn't take sides in these issues. Well, he's obviously taking a side. Anybody else on these prominent ministerial leaders who do this?
Yes, Bishop, I've seen, this is Pastor Johnson from Texas again, I've seen substantiated ministers, leaders, pastors, bishops contort themselves to follow the political direction that the political world would take them. And I've seen them first reject, let's say, homosexuality, and then I've seen them just transition from a strong position standing on the word of God to actually performing wedding ceremonies for same-sex couples. And so there is a movement, a spiritual transition that they send themselves through for the sake of, again, the popularity or the prominence and things like that.
Yeah, it's difficult to grasp. And I often say, I don't know if these people are really Christians, because I don't know how you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've actually met him. He's indwelt you. And you know that he is holy and righteous altogether. And you go along with this stuff, which is unholy and unrighteous. Hard for me to fathom that you can really know him like that. But then again, the Bible speaks of that, doesn't it? It says, many will say, well, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful things in your name? And they'll say, look, depart from that. I don't even know you. I never knew you. So maybe that's what we're looking at in some of these cases. Okay, let's take another call. We've got one that's anonymous, and if you could somehow identify yourself, that would be great, rather than bringing up somebody we don't know who you are. But let's go to the next question.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Jose from the pitiful state of California, fornication. Very sad out here, gentlemen. We need your prayers. My question is this. Have you seen the movie Enemies Within the Church by Trevor Loudon, a documentary on the invasion of our churches or seminaries by apostates, basically, and frauds? And this even goes back to the book by Bella Dodd in 1933 about the supposed Satanist infiltration of the Catholic seminaries, which led to all the subsequent abuses and problems. So my question is, how do we recapture sort of the source and the genesis of our ministers? Because that's where it starts, and that's what affects generations in the future. Or do we have to go back to a grassroots, sort of like Jesus did with the corruption of the hierarchy? God bless you, gentlemen. I love you. Good work.
Love you too, Jose. Thank you so much. Of course, California's a whole other case, but anybody want to respond to Brother Jose?
I'd like to, Pastor Three, North Carolina. I think it's critically important that those of us who know the truth keep preaching, teaching, and proclaiming the righteousness of God in the midst of a culture and a generation that seems to embrace the lie. And we need to remember that the gospel that we've been called to preach is one of righteousness. And the word tells us that no one in unrighteousness shall inherit the kingdom of God. And we need to be preaching repentance. We need to be preaching against sin and rebellion and stop avoiding the subject matters. It's amazing how many churches don't even talk about sin any longer. And it's the whole issue of sin that had driven humanity into this place of despair and brokenness. And so we've got to preach righteousness in the midst of repentance and deal with the sin issues. And so the remnant, if that's what we have, then the remnant must preach truth, but preach it in love, but must preach the truth. And we shouldn't compromise under any circumstance. Because the gospel must be preached, the hope must be preached in the light of the lies and misinformation of this generation. And so it's going to take courageous men and women to do that. And it's time for the church, the body of Christ, certainly the pastors and elders to step up and do what we've been called to do. And if we are really called, then we should be preaching what he told us to preach.
Yes. Well, look, I know who the anonymous caller is. It's a fellow bishop. I'm going to call on him in a second. But just before I do that, let me put this question then out there. You said we don't want to talk about sin anymore. Or hell, the idea that you die without Christ, you die in rebellion against God, you are going to eternal damnation. And we don't hear that talked about much anymore either. because, you know, it's all kind of you're okay, I'm okay, and and let's not make anybody feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. What about that?
Bishop, let me follow up on that, your statement. Recently, well, in the last 5 or 6 years, every funeral I go to, I make it a point to share the gospel. Because for whatever reason, I recognize that people were assuming that because so-and-so died, they go to heaven. And I make it a point, listen, heaven is not graced and gifted but through death. It's only given through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to push it and make it clear that death is not how you get to heaven. Death is how you get to the other side of eternity. And if you've lived a life without Christ, you're not going to heaven. You're going to that other place. And may we boldly say that without apology.
Amen. Right. And the common statement I hear, well, you know, we're all children of God. And I've often said, no, we're not. And people get offended by that. What do you mean? So, yes, go ahead.
The gentleman mentioned before Pastor Three made comments, gentleman mentioned about someone from a while ago. And he mentioned a book, and there's another book called Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave. And in that, Julius Wellhausen was one of those men. And he began this path. He went down this path of questioning the integrity of the Bible, because before then the church had generally just accepted the word of God as the inerrant, as it is the inerrant word of God. And he began to sow seeds of doubt way back in the 19th century. And so this is kind of a culmination that we are reaching now, that Satan has been moving America towards for over 100 and some, almost 200 years. And we have to recognize that. And he mentioned about the seminaries, you know, do we change those or do we try to grassroots? Well, we should have both, because if people read the Bible for themselves, the Holy Spirit will reveal to them when an error is being preached. When someone says something and you know that's not in the Word of God, again, you got to move with your feet and get out of the place and not support places that don't believe that the Scriptures is the inerrant Word of God.
And Bishop, this is Pastor Johnson from Texas. The gentleman also asked the question, what are we to do? I would suggest that we preach, pray, and live revival. Pray for revival and then walk in it as if it has already happened.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we've got Bishop Carlton McLeod. He's a dear friend. He's here in the local area, and he's the one who called in under anonymous, which I understand because, as you all know, my ID on my phone is blocked. Bishop, wonderful to have you. Go right ahead and weigh in.
Sir, it is glad to be on. I'm sitting here fired up listening to the men of God, you know, who are excited about proclaiming the fullness of Scripture. I saw the email come through, Bishop, and I couldn't resist, because this is my life. And brothers, thank you for your encouragement. I just wanted to say two quick things, one by way of cost. The brother, the pastor had mentioned earlier, sorry for getting your name, several years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I lost half my church for standing up in an expository manner and declaring the fullness, the counsel, the word of God as best that I could, including what God says to women, what God says to men, what God says about marriage, what God says about life. Well, fast forward, and I've discovered that there is a remnant of people who are actually looking for preachers to stand up boldly with lots of love and tell the truth. And I've seen it come full circle. Young families from all over our area who are on YouTube and Googling, trying to find churches who are holding the line. So they're out there by the grace of God. Keep on preaching. The next thing I'll say, and I'll get out of the way, is in all of these discussions, one of the things that has been the greatest blessing to me in my 27 years of being a pastor is challenging men to disciple their families, challenging men to hold family worship, challenging men and women to consider how their children are being educated. Bodhi Bakum said discipleship is a three-legged stool, home, church, and classroom. And we don't think we'll make the progress that we need to make if we don't include those other two areas as well. And so challenging those brothers to get in there and labor in doctrine and in the gospel in their households, and tackling the very difficult issue of the Marxist camps that most of our children go are in. Love you guys so much. Thank you, Bishop, for taking the time.
All right, Bishop. Thank you, man. Praise God for you. God bless you. He has written some books on family. Just Google his name, Bishop Carlton McLeod. McLeod is spelled M-C-L-E-O-D, M-C, capital L-E-O-D. And check him out, because he's done some great writing on issues of family and marriage and all of that. So, and you're right. Well, look, we've gone over time, which is just fine. But let's talk a little bit just before we go about unity, because one of the issues is, the Baptists don't want to deal with the Pentecostals, and the Pentecostals don't want to deal with the Baptists, and you know, people are kind of in their little silos. And then you got, frankly, some of our churches, they just believe, you know, there's a black church and there's a white church and there's this church and there's that church. I had one woman come to my church. She and her family came. They're Asians. And they said to me, you know, we go to an Asian church, and basically they preach being an Asian. You're not really an authentic Christian if you're not an Asian. And I thought, well, you know, there it is. I mean, it's being an Asian that is really the most important thing. So let's just, in the few minutes we've got, talk a little bit about transcending all of these divisions that the devil uses to keep us away from each other.
Bishop, you know what immediately comes to mind to me is in Corinthians, where he says that we know no man after the flesh, and we don't even Christ after the flesh. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So the revelation of the new creature or new creation is not made known. They obviously don't know that, because we're not to be identified by our flesh. Not, we don't even identify with Christ after the flesh anymore.
Amen.
And also, Bishop, in Ephesians 2, verse 15, Pastor Iverson Jackson did a marvelous job sharing this in one of our gatherings, that in Christ, Jew and Gentile, the wall of division has been removed, and God made in Christ one new man. So we're not black church, white church, we're not Baptist, Methodist, no, we are one new man, and we're called the body of Christ. And we've got to get that revelation, or we will continue to walk in division.
And the country desperately needs unity. And I say, if the church can't demonstrate that, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another. But if my love only extends to a person who's got dark skin, because, well, that's what that really means, right? Not to everybody, but just to people like who, as they say, look like me, as they like to put it. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's not what the Lord was teaching at all. Anybody else want to weigh on that?
Yes, Bishop, Pastor Johnson from Texas. I could just sum it up this way. As long as we're remaining divided, we're satisfying Satan's plan.
Well, that says it all, doesn't it? Well, look, brethren, we're going to be together in 1 week. Next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Cornerstone Chapel. I wish we had more time, because we could really get into this, because Cornerstone Chapel has got a conservative Bible-believing pastor who is unashamed of the Word of God, who, as they put it, he gets into politics, but he's got thousands of members at his church. And so it just goes to show, God can bless you in spite of the world's opposition to you. That's where we're going to be holding our Stand Awards dinner, 650 Battlefield Parkway Southeast in Leesburg. I have to tell everybody, all the seats are taken. The dinner set. But if you'd like to support us, you can go to the website standamerica.us and make a contribution. You can still sponsor. We're still taking sponsors, but we're not adding any more people to the dinner itself, because we are frankly sold out. So thank you all for your prayers, for your support, and thank you, brothers, for your faithfulness. You're all going to be there, all participating. Thank you all for your faithfulness to stand, first and foremost, of course, to the Lord, because that's the only reason why we're all together, is we all love God first. But thank you all for all that you've done. we're going to be honoring Brigitte Gabriel, Dr. Johnny Hunter, Sandy Rios, the late Bishop Dean Nelson, who, as you all know, passed away last December at 55 years old. But we're going to honor him, give the award to his widow, and to Bishop Garland Hunt, who has taken over the Frederick Douglass Foundation. And as I said, Pastor Gary Hambrick is one of our honorees, as well as allowing us to have it at his church. So we're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be great. And thank you all for all that you do to make the work that we do possible. And we're going to be getting together, I think, tomorrow for sort of a debriefing for everything that's supposed to happen at the dinner. And I look forward to that. But God bless you, brethren. Thank you all. May the Lord just continue to prosper everything that you set your hands to do. And I'll see you all in audience. I will see you all as well. Some of you I know are coming to the dinner. I will see you all there next Tuesday night. In the meantime, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.
God bless you, Bishop. Brothers.
Bless you.
God bless.